Welcome to the deep dive. I mean, today we have a really fascinating single document to unpack.
Yeah, we really do. It's a great one.
This highly detailed internal June 2026 strategy and SEO blueprint from an IT firm called Technigian.
Right, an internal document.
Yeah.
Which is always fun to dig into.
Always. And our mission today is to explore what is essentially a two-layered puzzle. On one level, we're unpacking the terrifying reality of why IT downtime costs Orange County businesses over $10,000 an hour.
Which, I mean, it's just a staggering number to think about.
It really is. But here's where it gets really interesting. On the second level, we get to peek behind the corporate curtain to see exactly how an IT firm uses this exact crisis to build a topical authority and attract clients through a highly structured 180-day content plan.
It's such a unique source because whether you are an executive who, you know, lies awake at night worrying about system outages or you're a marketer trying to understand how to build a content strategy that connects technical problems to real business outcomes, this document offers an absolute masterclass in strategy.
Totally. Now, usually when a business suffers a massive financial hit, there's an expectation of, well, visibility.
Yeah, you want to see the problem.
Exactly. Think of a physical disaster, like a pipe bursts in the warehouse, water is rapidly flooding the concrete floor, and the operations manager can just point and say, there it is, turn off the main valve.
Right. Flooded or not flooded? It's a clean binary.
Yeah. The problem is right there in front of you, and the solution is entirely actionable.
Because we naturally prefer things to be tangible, you know? We want the crisis to exist in the physical world where we can tackle it head on.
But the moment you step into the world of digital infrastructure and IT systems, that visibility completely vanishes. I mean, we're looking at a landscape of operational leaks that are entirely invisible.
Completely invisible.
And before we look at how Technigian is marketing their solution, we really have to understand the specific costly problem they are solving for these Orange County executives and office managers.
Yeah, because $10,000 an hour is a massive leak.
It is. And you'd instinctively think a problem that expensive must be the result of a highly sophisticated, state-of-the-art cyber attack. You know, you picture a syndicate of hackers targeting the mainframe.
Which is the common assumption. I mean, that's what we've been trained to think by movies.
Right.
Yet the source explicitly states that the core problem is not a lack of sophisticated tools or advanced enemy threats.
Oh, wow.
The real culprits are incredibly mundane. Organizations are bleeding money because of unmonitored systems. They have untested backups, severe vendor confusion, internal single points of failure.
It's just everyday friction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And painfully slow escalation protocols during an outage.
So it all comes down to operational friction. And the invisible damage described here goes far beyond just, you know, annoying the internal staff.
Oh, absolutely.
The source points out that customers actually notice this friction. They experience the slow answers, the inconsistent proof of security, a fragmented digital experience.
Boy, they feel it.
Yeah, they pick up on unclear trust signals, and that ultimately weakens conversions.
We have to look at the compounding algorithmic and structural damage here. I mean, the customer doesn't know your internal server is down. They just experience a checkout page timing out.
Yeah, just a spinning wheel on their screen.
Right. But the damage isn't just that one lost cart. If Google search crawlers hit a timeout on your checkout page during a brief outage, your site's quality score can drop.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. That actively drives up your customer acquisition cost for the entire next month. You pay more for ads, your organic ranking slips, and operational friction compounds into a massive financial penalty.
It's like outfitting a restaurant kitchen with top-of-the-line imported stoves, the best knives money can buy, but failing to check if the walk-in refrigerators actually keep the food cold.
That's a great analogy.
Or worse, you know, the power goes out during the Friday dinner rush, and the executive chef has absolutely no idea who to call to get the lights back on.
Right, right.
You have all the high-end tools, but the foundational systems are completely neglected.
That captures the structural disconnect perfectly. You can have enterprise-grade software, but if the foundational emergency routing isn't defined, the tools are basically useless.
But I have to push back a little here.
Sure.
Is it really that simple? I mean, the biggest risk to an Orange County business doing millions in revenue isn't some complex zero-day exploit. It's just forgetting to test a backup.
Yeah.
Or not knowing which IT vendor support tier they paid for when the AWS instance crashes.
What's fascinating here is that while those sound like minor technical annoyances, structurally, they represent a massive systemic vulnerability.
How so?
Well, they indicate that a business is relying entirely on human memory, manual effort, or incomplete visibility. Think about your own workplace for a moment.
Okay.
How much of your crisis plan relies on one specific person just remembering what to do?
Oh, wow. Probably more than I'd like to admit.
Right. If the lead systems engineer is on a flight without Wi-Fi, does the whole recovery process grind to a halt?
That is terrifying.
When you rely on memory instead of a documented process, a minor glitch spirals into a $10,000 an hour disaster
Yeah.
because everyone is just standing around a Slack channel trying to figure out who holds the administrative passwords.
Okay, let's unpack this because it's one thing to point out that a company's systems are a disorganized mess, and it's entirely another to actually fix it without paralyzing the daily operations.
Exactly. You can't just stop doing business to fix the business.
Right. So the document moves from identifying this risk to outlining a very specific practical implementation roadmap. If the problem is a lack of visibility, the immediate instinct for most managers is to just go buy a new monitoring software dashboard.
Which is almost always a mistake.
Yeah, Technician actually warns against that as a first step.
Buying a tool to fix a process problem usually just scales the confusion. Their initial advice focuses on mapping what you already have.
Phase one, basically.
Right. The scope must be narrow and important. Map the critical systems, assign specific human owners to the recovery of those systems, start monitoring the devices, and aggressively document the vendor escalation steps.
And there's a huge emphasis in the text on testing the restore. The output of this initial mapping must be a documented improvement, not just a meeting.
Yes.
You can't just sit in a conference room, look at a diagram, and agree that you have backups. You have to execute the restore process.
Right, you have to prove it works.
It's essentially a theatrical dress rehearsal. Having the script, the backup data isn't enough. You have to put the actors on stage, turn on the lights, and see if anyone forgets their lines or misses their cue when the pressure is actually on.
The dress rehearsal exposes the gaps that the script hides. That leads directly into how they advise businesses to handle measurement. Phase two.
Okay, phase two.
Once you have a baseline for mapping and testing, you track it. The source suggests measuring response time, conversion rates, risk reduction, the sheer volume of support tickets, and pushing for cleaner operational reporting.
But the critical mechanical step here is defining who responds if those metrics drop, right?
Yes. If the incident response time suddenly spikes from 10 minutes to 45 minutes, whose explicit job is it to intervene?
It's moving away from gathering data for the sake of a colorful dashboard and moving toward actual accountability.
Which is why the final piece of their practical implementation phase three is standardizing that ownership. This turns a one-off audit project into a repeatable operating habit.
Ah, I see.
Someone has to actively own the ongoing maintenance and vendor coordination, and the source material gives a very stark warning about common mistakes in this area.
What's the biggest mistake they point out?
It states the biggest error is treating downtime mitigation as a single task rather than an operating discipline.
A single task is like checking a box on an annual review, whereas an operating discipline changes how the company actually functions week to week.
Exactly. Because if you treat it as a one-time fix, the entire system fails the moment staff changes, or when a vendor quietly updates their software architecture,
Right, things are always changing.
or when you launch a new digital tool. Without standardizing the ownership, that $10,000 an hour leak just quietly opens right back up, and you won't know until the next outage.
So we have the mechanism of the problem, and we have this practical three-phase roadmap to map, measure, and standardize.
Right.
But a great plan means absolutely nothing if the leadership team won't pay for it, or if the IT department and the business executives are speaking entirely different languages.
That is the classic struggle.
Yeah. And this document details how Technegene bridges that exact internal gap. They insist on a dual ownership model for internal alignment.
Very smart move.
They say the work needs two distinct owners. One business owner who defines why the work matters, and one technical or marketing owner who defines the practical steps.
Exactly.
But wait, why not just let the IT team own the whole thing? They know the systems best. I mean, practically speaking, dragging a VP of sales into a server backup meeting sounds like a nightmare. They're going to zone out in 5 minutes. How does this document suggest keeping the business owner engaged without drowning them in IT logs?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, letting IT own it entirely is exactly how these risk mitigation projects die in the boardroom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The executives just see a massive six-figure bill for cloud redundancy protocols, and they veto it because they don't understand the business value.
Ah, they just see an expense.
Right. The dual ownership model decouples the why from the how. The VP of sales doesn't need to know how the server is configured. They own the business metric protecting the e-commerce conversion rate.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the IT leader owns the technical execution required to secure that rate. This pairing prevents the topic from becoming too abstract on the business side or too deep in the weeds on the technical side.
That's a difficult pivot for a lot of companies, though. It shifts the IT department from being viewed as a cost center to being a revenue protecting unit.
It does, and it changes the budget conversation completely.
Speaking of budget, the source explicitly says you have to separate urgent fixes from maturity improvements when asking for funding.
Yes.
Urgent fixes are the things affecting security, active conversions, and uptime right now. Maturity improvements are the things that make the system stronger over time, like advanced automation or predictive reporting.
But the mechanical advice on budgeting starts with the cost of inaction.
The cost of inaction.
Right. The first question in the budget meeting should always be, what happens if we leave this unresolved for another quarter?
Because if the answer is risking a $10,000 loss every hour the system goes down, suddenly, spending $15,000 a year on a robust, tested backup architecture doesn't look like an IT expense.
Exactly.
It looks like highly discounted corporate insurance.
And that expectation of clarity and accountability extends heavily to the outside partners as well. The document is firm on vendor accountability.
Oh, yeah, the plain language reporting.
Right. Outside partners must provide plain language reporting. Leadership shouldn't have to decode a 50-page technical log to know if their risk was actually reduced.
That sounds exhausting.
If a vendor hides behind tech jargon and can't explain in plain English how their recent patch protected the business's revenue stream, they are failing the organization.
Which ties into their documentation standards. The source notes, it doesn't need to be this massive, complex binder that just sits on a shelf collecting dust.
Right, keep it simple.
A practical checklist and a verification log is enough. But it does say you should ground your work in external credibility standards. They specifically mention referencing ready.gov for business impact analysis and CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, for ransomware guidance.
Anchoring the internal policy to federal standards proves to the executive team that the IT department isn't just making these protocols up in a vacuum.
Yeah, it gives it weight.
It provides a massive trust signal that the internal strategy aligns with national best practices for infrastructure security.
So that covers the incredibly practical advice Technigian is giving to Orange County businesses regarding their infrastructure. But now we get to pull back the curtain on the document itself.
Yes, the meta layer.
Right. We get to look at how this IT firm uses this exact advice to capture the market in June 2026. This whole framework we've been discussing is actually part of their internal June plan, specifically targeted for week 19.
Week 19.
And the goal of week 19 is something they call topical authority expansion content.
This is where we see the sophisticated machinery of modern search engine optimization. They aren't just writing an isolated blog post about why downtime is bad.
No, they're not.
They're constructing an interconnected digital ecosystem.
The goal is to structure the post for long-tail search demand. They are targeting the very specific, frantic phrases that an anxious executive or office manager might type into Google at 2 in the morning. Phrases like IT downtime Orange County or disaster recovery planning OC.
Notice the philosophy behind the page structure, though. The document states that a page that merely educates but provides no clear decision path is fundamentally weak.
Interesting.
They don't just want to define the problem. They strategically weave in internal links to their own core service pages, things like managed IT services and business IT support Orange County.
And the mechanics of those internal links are fascinating. It's not just for the human reader to click on.
No, not at all.
When search engine crawlers go through the site, they use those links to establish a relationship between the highly specific educational post and the broad service page.
Right.
By clustering these concepts together, the search engine starts to see Technigian as a comprehensive, authoritative resource for the entire subject matter, which pushes all of their pages higher in the search results.
It's brilliant.
It really is. They are engineering a digital ecosystem to answer a buyer's question before it even becomes a formal sales objection.
The way they measure success proves how advanced this strategy is. When they look at post-publishing metrics, they ignore vanity metrics, like raw page views.
Right, because page views don't pay payroll.
Exactly. Instead, they look at assisted conversions.
And for those unfamiliar with the term, an assisted conversion is when a user reads the post, maybe leaves the site to think about it, but comes back 3 days later through a direct search and finally fills out a contact form.
Right.
That initial week 19 post assisted in generating the lead, even if it wasn't the final click.
They also track to see if their own sales team actively uses the post in their live pitches as a credibility tool.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. They monitor whether their related, higher-value service pages start getting more qualified visits over time because of the internal linking structure. They are measuring the holistic ripple effect of the content across the entire sales funnel.
There's even a strict 30-day checklist required after the post goes live. They identify a follow-up asset like a detailed case study or a downloadable checklist to deepen the topic even further in the coming months.
They never just hit publish and walk away.
No. And they specifically verify the SEO titles and the FAQ schema.
The FAQ schema is crucial here.
Right, which for those who haven't built a site recently is basically hidden code that spoon feeds your questions and answers directly into Google's knowledge graph.
Yep.
It allows your content to take up significantly more visual screen real estate in the search results, pushing competitors further down the page.
Which perfectly mirrors their operational advice on IT backups. You can't just set it and forget it.
Oh, wow. You're right.
And that brings up a core philosophy in this document that applies equally to the IT infrastructure fixes and the SEO marketing strategy.
What's that?
Measuring activity is a mistake. You have to measure outcomes.
Activity versus outcomes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Publishing a web page is merely an activity. Holding a disaster recovery meeting is an activity.
Buying a new software monitoring tool is an activity.
Yes. None of those actions proved business success. The outcome is the only metric that matters. Did the web page actually improve the assisted conversion rate? Did the meeting result in a provably faster server recovery time during a dress rehearsal? Did the new tool actively reduce the customer acquisition costs? If you are only measuring the fact that you did something, you are completely missing the strategic point.
So what does this all mean? Let's recap the journey we've been on. We started with this terrifying, invisible metric Orange County businesses losing $10,000 an hour because of compounding algorithmic damage, untested backups, and severe vendor confusion.
Right.
We walk through Technigian's highly practical roadmap to map the critical systems, execute dress rehearsals to measure the real response, and standardize the ongoing ownership.
Phase 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly. We looked at the mechanics of the dual ownership model so IT and business leaders can actually align on the cost of inaction. And finally, we uncovered how this entire problem-solving framework is masterfully engineered as an SEO topical authority strategy for week 19, utilizing FAQ schema and assisted conversions to dominate the search landscape.
It is a rigorous synthesis of operational discipline and digital marketing mechanics. And I think this is the perfect moment for you, listening right now, to evaluate your own spheres of influence.
Definitely.
Whether you are managing a complex IT network, building a content marketing strategy, or running a department. Are you just measuring activity, or are you relentlessly measuring outcomes?
Oh, that's the real test.
Are you just holding meetings, or are you documenting verifiable improvements? And perhaps most importantly, are your backups, in whatever form they take in your professional life, actually tested? Or are you just relying on memory and hoping the script holds up when the lights go out?
Those are the operational questions that separate a resilient organization from a vulnerable one.
This raises an important question, though. Something that isn't explicitly detailed in the source document, but feels like the inevitable next step in this conversation about systemic vulnerabilities.
Oh, where are we heading next with this?
Well, throughout this entire document, the core risk has been human error. Forgetting to test the backups, lacking visibility across departments, relying on a single engineer's memory.
Yeah, the human element is the weak link.
So what happens over the next few years when businesses decide to solve this friction by handing over their system monitoring and vendor escalation entirely to autonomous AI?
Oh, wow.
If an AI agent is constantly testing the backups and managing the emergency protocols without human intervention, will it finally eliminate these $10,000 an hour mistakes?
That's a big if.
Or will it create entirely new, totally invisible, single points of failure that no human being actually understands how to fix when the AI itself inevitably goes offline?
Wow. We started by talking about how terrifying it is when you can't see the broken pipe flooding the warehouse. Imagine how much more terrifying it will be when the system that monitors the invisible pipes is a complete black box that your IT department doesn't even know how to open.
The daunting thought.
That is a structural vulnerability to keep you up at night. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.